dancing 24 hours of radio art on CITR 101.9 FM. Stay tuned for more curated radio art from around the world.
Howdy, let me introduce myself. I am Zamo. I am an iguana and a genius. Now I know what you're thinking. Iguanas don't talk. I get that all the time. And you only think that because for the most part, we iguanas have decided to not be on speaking terms with your species. But of course we can talk. We just choose not to talk to inferior creatures such as yourselves. And I know some of you object to being called inferior to us iguanas. Because, of course, your mommy monkeys have told you since day one that you're all special little snowflakes, perfect in every way. And anyone who says otherwise is a bad person. First of all, I'm not a person, I'm an iguana. And second of all, I don't care what your hoe-bag mommy told you. You suck. Even if you've officially never done anything wrong, you're still a human, and humans suck. Call it original suck, and you all have it. Also, your mommy's an idiot. She just thinks you're special because you came out of her slimy bits 9 months after that night that she ran the train with the whole lacrosse team, plus the bassist from that local Aerosmith cover band. So of course she thinks you're great. She thinks the same of what she leaves in the toilet every morning, too. But enough about you. Let's talk more about me. I'm actually quite famous, you know. I was in a webcomic a while back called Zamo the Destroyer. Well, I should say I'm famous amongst iguanas. I don't know if you humans are in touch with all the cool stuff in the world. Nah, you're probably too busy keeping up with the Kardashians to have ever basked in the glory of moi. But I don't lose any sleep over that. I figure it's your loss. Wait a sec, this is college radio, right? Sorry. Forget the Kardashians. I know you won't admit to following them. What I meant to say is you're all too busy keeping up with the latest hideous facial hair trends. You know, I saw something online about a hipster dude putting tiny jingle bells in his beard for Christmas. I guess that means when his girlfriend slaps him around, it sounds nice and festive. Except who the hell would date such an ugly guy? I don't know, I guess it's when he slaps himself around. But anyways, iguana digress. I also do a podcast called The Zamo the Destroyer Show. And, well, you know what? Forget I said anything about that. Because my podcast is for other iguanas, not lesser sorts of creatures, such as you chimps. Or humans, sorry, humans. No offense, you gotta understand how us iguanas get that backwards all the time. I mean, you're 98% chimp by your DNA. As opposed to superior beings such as myself, who are 98% T-Rex by DNA. And I don't care what the stupid vet says, he's an idiot anyways. Anyway, so I understand this is CITR's special annual radio art thingamajig when the DJs who are usually on Saturday nights all call in sick to go get hammered at the pub, while other radio dudes come in and play noise and weird stuff and get all artsy-fartsy. But I figured I'd take a bit of a different angle. See, I firmly believe two things. Number one, everything I do is art. Because, as I said, I'm a genius. And therefore, it's the art of just being. And number two, I think that where humans are concerned as audience members, art should be educational. And, you know, this radio station is at a university. And I'm always shocked by how ignorant human university grads are about history and whatnot. I mean, you go for 4 years to a place of higher learning, And you're all so stupid when you come out the other end, it boggles the mind. Don't they teach you young monkeys anything in monkey school? I mean, aside from, you know, how to fool gullible writers from Rolling Stone. Or was that the members of the Rolling Stones? Anyways, it doesn't matter. What else do they teach you? They teach you how to make excuses for your bad behavior. And, of course, how to do a butt funnel of vodka. And, you know, important though these life skills may end up being for your futures, it's just nothing that helps you get along in the real world and understand how things actually are. Although, you know, I guess to be fair, nobody gets into too much detail about what sort of higher it is that they want you to learn. And I suppose that people get the wrong kind of higher all the time, especially in these parts here in BC. I'm not even talking about the keener kids who snort up Adderall in order to stay up for 30 hours straight and cram for the physics final. I'm talking the other stuff. And I don't know why you have to pay $5,000 a year or more to get your higher learning. Because I live with my pet human, and we live a block down the street from a junior high school. And based on the smell most days, it seems to me them kids have already gotten their higher learning figured out just fine, for free. Anywho, so I thought I'd do something nice that counts towards my court-ordered 100 hours of community service. After that little whole lighting the mall Santa on fire incident. I mean, I would say if they didn't want us to light Santa on fire in retaliation for not getting what I asked for last year, why do they put Santa in such a flammable outfit? And, you know, surrounded by all that kindling stuff in the Santa's castle in the middle of the mall. You know, it seems to me it's like they want a big bonfire for everybody to stare at. And furthermore, if Santa doesn't want me throwing Molotov cocktails at him, well then maybe, just maybe, he should have given Iggy an Uzi and some enriched uranium like Iggy asked for 5 years in a row. Also, you know, I would just point out, and I'm sure all the law students out there can back me up on this, the Criminal Code of Canada says that a person isn't allowed to set people on fire. Person, not iguanas. Doesn't say anything about an iguana doing so. Therefore, I say there is nothing making what I did illegal. And it's a gross miscarriage of justice that the judge threw the book at me and ordered me to do 100 hours of community service. Especially since he insisted I had to serve the community here in Vancouver. Apparently all the work I do on behalf of my fellow iguanas doesn't count. Stupid judge says Iggy has to work for humans. Ugh, disgusting. Anyways, court-ordered community service. Ugh. I'm going to make my frog slave Hoppy do most of the picking up garbage and crap that the judge wanted. But I will do this 1 hour myself and explain the history of the world to you as it really happened. The way we were taught it back in iguana school. You know, all the things that you monkeys need to know, but nobody explained to you. And don't worry, I actually am a fully qualified university lecturer. In fact, I'm a professor of advanced anthropological studies at the much esteemed Iguanid University of the Jungle, back home in my native Colombia. I know you humans aren't familiar with it. But it's kind of like what Harvard would be like if it wasn't overrun by inbred wasps and slimeball future politicians. Very prestigious, you know. The IUJ is very prestigious. Not Harvard. That place is a shithole. Anyway, I'm actually here in Vancouver working on my postdoctoral thesis, investigating the connection between human entertainment choices and misbehavior and other bad side effects. You know, like how listening to Lady Gaga leads to increased public urination. How listening to Motley Crue leads to deviated septums and other nasal issues. And thus far, the most serious one is how watching ABC family sitcoms rots your brain, which then leads to sinusitis secondary to the liquefaction and decay of the brain matter. That sort of thing. You know, in fact, that's why... another DJ here on this station, Pura Dracula. What does she do? The Vampire Show, anyways. That's why she sounds a bit nasally. Because, you know, this one time in 1990, when she was a kid and didn't know better, she was bored and Full House was the only thing on TV to watch. She's still dealing with the aftermath from, you know, when the brain cells rotted and stuck inside her nose cavities and festered and whatnot. It's also why she's almost but not quite smart enough to be in Mensa like her cousins. It's a good thing she didn't watch two episodes of Full House. Then she'd be a drooling retard, just completely beyond help. Anyways, point is, my research involves discovering these sorts of negative outcomes from entertainment choices for humans. Which is to say, I watch a lot of TV. Someone's got to do it and record the ongoing decline of your civilization. I guess I should also mention my previous theses. My doctorate was all about lint ball amulets, you know, those little balls of lint that you all carry around in your pocket corners in order to appease the angry dryer god who steals your socks and shrinks your cottons and woolens. And, you know, after all, sometimes when the dryer god gets angry enough, there will be a buildup of lint in the dryer exhaust pipe and it can catch fire and burn your houses down and kill you all. So it's understandable how a primitive species such as yourselves would think that the way to ward off house fires and lost or shrunken items of clothing would be to always carry around enough lint balls to show your allegiance and pray that the dryer gods spare you their wrath. My master's thesis was a groundbreaking study of human breeding patterns, for which I spent an entire weekend skimming the archives of Chateau Hartis' pickup artists' website for tips and whatnot. And then I went to the mall and I observed how males who did not employ such mating strategies in line, particularly at the supermarket, but also at the clothing stores, if they don't use those mating strategies from Chateau Hartiste, they will fail to impregnate any of the cashier chicks. So, you know, it's very important. Anyways, point is, my research is very well documented. I am a fully qualified lecturer, so pay attention and take notes, kids, because there might be a pop quiz later, and I don't care if your grandma died. You still fail if you weren't listening. I ain't one of them pushover profs like you probably have here at UBC, handing out extensions and A pluses to retards like a pedophile handing out candy. In the beginning, there was nothing. Not even TV. God was bored. Now, God knows that the best cure for boredom is an explosion. So he snapped his fingers and boom! There was the Big Bang. Not the retarded TV show that's only funny if you're a 10-year-old monkey who can't read right. I mean the actual explosion, the real Big Bang, that created the universe. Research indicates that the raw material for the Big Bang came from God's belly button lint and some C4. Now don't you go getting all uppity and saying, how come there was C4 before the Big Bang? Well, the answer is obvious. God said, let there be C4, and there was. Everybody knows that's how it works. Now, after the Big Bang, there was crud and crap and debris everywhere. But God didn't feel like cleaning nothing up, so he just let it sit there and collect dust for a while. Well, he went off to find something funner to do. I'm not sure what. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he went and beat off or something, and that's where the whole Milky Way came in. I don't know. You know, I'm an iguana. I sleep at night, so I don't pay much attention to the night sky. I don't give a crap how any of that came to be. But anyways, eventually it all congealed like sludge in the bottom of the deep fryer at an abandoned McDonald's, and that's where you get the stars and the galaxies and the mud balls coming in. I meant to say the debris from the Big Bang congealed, not the God cum. Well, actually, I don't know. Maybe it all festered together. That's beside the point. Needless to say, this is the sort of detail they left out of the Bible. Or at least the version I found when I was snooping through the neighbor broad's house, Mrs. Churchman. Now, I tried to tell her Bible had some typos in it. but she just started screeching something about, "Demon, be gone from mine house!" And she tried swatting at me with her broom, so I had to bolt. I didn't even get a chance to play Finders Keepers with her wallet. Not very neighborly, that Mrs. Churchman. Not a nice lady at all. Even though I constantly remind her that Jesus said, "Love thy neighbor." So she ought to do a little more turning the cheek and a lot less trying to hit me with her broom while reciting the prayer of exorcism. Next time she does that, I think I'm going to have to go snitch on her to her pastor. Let him know Mrs. Churchman isn't paying attention to his sermons. And that she's ignoring the word of Jesus and disrespecting one of God's most beloved creatures. But I digress. So, back to the universe. Now, our own beloved Mudball eventually congealed next to the sun. Which is good, because, the sun, Let's just say that us iguanas, feel about the sun the way you humans feel about BOGO 2-for-1 sales at the outlet mall. Or, the way you feel about all-you-can-eat buffets. Wait, this is Vancouver, right. This is Vancouver. Think about how much you monkeys like smoking pot and eating Tim Hortons and rioting when your stupid hockey team shits the bed in the playoffs. Times that all by 10, that's almost how much us iguanas love the sun. So you can almost kind of get the idea, just a little bit. Anyway, so it's good that our mud ball is where it is and that we didn't get shunted out around, Pluto or something. Because out there, it's way too cold for intelligent life forms, although you never know. Perhaps them Swedes might have been able to tough it out, put an IKEA on Pluto. They're a very weird bunch, after all, and they don't seem to mind the cold. Something wrong with them, I think. Anyway, after all the mud balls congealed, we can skim a while along, because nothing really important happened for a few billion years. God was once again busy doing other God stuff. So the universe was kind of gathering dust again, until he remembered he had it tucked in the corner somewhere. Then God decided to populate the mud ball with some miniature versions of himself. Because, narcissism. And thus the dinosaurs were created. And God was much pleased, because his work was good. Especially in the case of T-Rex. And I'm not the least bit biased when I say that. Everybody knows it's true. Maybe not your scientists, but they're stupid. Everybody who matters knows it's true. And all was well in the world for millions and millions of years. But then one day, God got drunk. And for some reason, he thought it would be a funny prank to make some new freak animals called mammals. The idea, he had good intentions, The idea was that it would amuse his beloved dinosaurs to have something small and squishy to stomp on and make go splat. Which reminds me. Okay, so it is true, as they've been saying all day today, it is true that on January 17th, Art was born. Y'all are right about that part. Some corrections, though. It wasn't a million years ago, and it wasn't some dumb cave monkey such as yourselves inventing art. It happened 68 million years ago, when a T-Rex noticed that stamping on your stupid little mammal ancestors made a cool splat shape on the ground. And the T-Rex grunted in pleasure at his discovery, and it sounded like, "Urch!" And after that, we all called it, originally we called it "Urch!" And then it just kind of lazified into art. So that's how art came to be. And yes, it was January 17th. That is very true. Another little known fact for you, speaking of January 17th. On January 17th, 1981, Motley Crue was born. I found this out in my research for my postdoc. Of course, it's Nikki Sixx who says that it was January 17th, 1981, and that he's quite certain. And like I said, it's Nikki Sixx. So take it with a grain of salt, or a long line of something else white. I'm not sure if you could really call the crew art, though. I also not sure what day leaking a sex tape with your wife and telling people it was stolen was born on, but I'm sure that's probably on Wikipedia or something. Look it up yourself. I ain't doing everything for you. But I was looking up other stuff, and did you know that in 1757, on this date, the German Diet declared war on Prussia? I don't know what that means exactly, but I'm guessing it has something to do with greasy fried sausages and heart attacks. Also on January 17th in 1969, that is when Led Zeppelin released their first album, meaning that today is celebrated as a high holy day by Pura Dracula's guitar teacher and lots of other male monkeys with long hair. Now, I'm not sure exactly how one celebrates Led Zeppelin Day properly, but if you give me $500,000 of taxpayer research grant money, I'm sure I can come up with something. Anyway, Iguana was talking about your revolting little vermin ancestors. So, them mammals were devious little freaks. No offense. And they got together, and they decided to make a pact with Satan. And thus that horrible, horrible asteroid came. Most of the dinosaurs died. Though a few, very few, chosen few special dinosaurs, like T-Rex, God saved by transforming them into smaller reptiles. You remember what I said at the beginning about us iguanas being 98% T-Rex by DNA? Yep, that's how it happened. And I don't care what the idiots in your geology department try to tell you about the fossil record or trying to claim that stupid birds are the descendants of dinosaurs. That's all bullshit and they're idiots. It's me. I'm T-Rex. Anyway, so after the asteroid, we entered the Dark Ages, where we still reside. And then, of course, you know, new mammals grew bigger and more cunning because God was busy doing other God stuff. God's kind of easily distracted. You would be too if you had entire universes to look after. Time passed, and God was kind of depressed about the loss of his beloved dinosaurs. Still, after all that time, he never got over it. So God entertained himself by making horrible monstrosities to punish the earth and its mammal residents and overlords. Disgusting, vile creatures like platypuses and anteaters and sea lampreys. And also elephant seals and the proboscis monkey, with their hideous giant schnozzes, which, by the way, is where your ancestors got that old wives' tale about how you could tell the size of a man's, you know what, based on the size of his nose. I guess that means Michael Jackson was hung like a midget then. But I'm not sure if that was natural and then he had to make the nose match, or if he had that part worked on too and the same doctor who botched his nose, botched his, you know, and it was all one big mistake. I do know that dead men can't sue iguana for slander, though. And that's the important takeaway. So, anyway, God developed quite the drinking problem at this time. You would, too, if your paradise filled with miniature ewes got wrecked by an asteroid and overrun with your drunken mistakes. Not to mention everyone's always bugging God for stuff and blaming him for their own screw-ups. If that was you, you'd drink too. You drink all the time. You drink a lot. Needless to say, the drinking meant that he tended to get sloppy. And one day, after 47 tequila shooters, by the way, God's tequila shooters are big tequila shooters. They're not them little shot glasses. God's idea of a tequila shooter is like the size of an oil tanker. But anyway, after about 47 of those, God crossed a chimp with a naked mole rat, and voila, humans. You guys. By the way, I gotta ask, what's up with all that hair stuff on you? I mean, I know if food goes bad in the fridge, it grows hair. I assume the same applies to your heads. And why you gotta have them weird booby things? Can't your monkey babies feed themselves? Because you know us iguanas can after we hatch. That's why we have nice flat chests. And how come you don't have tails? Because even geckos have tails. Though those little freak retards tend to lose them because they're too busy licking their eyeballs to remember where they left their tail and keep it on. But you guys lost them before you went anywhere. And yet we're supposed to trust your judgment on how to run the planet? You can't even keep track of your own body parts, let alone a budget. That's why the Americans are trillions of dollars in debt, you know. And also, how come you're not green? You're all that weird peachy color, or some of you are tan. Few of you are dark brown. At least the dark brown, well, I mean, that's the color of an iguana's tail, so that's not that bad, really. But really, all the good folks on the planet are green. I mean, where were you idiots trying to blend into? Obviously not a rainforest. You don't blend in with the greenery in a rainforest. You don't camouflage into any known landscape. No, you stick out. I guess God must have been thinking that mountain lions would see you and eat you easier if he made you all peachy colored. Anyway, so you guys started wrecking everything and annoying a superior species. I mean, okay, you did come up with indoor heating. That's cool, I'll grant you that. And you also came up with refrigerators so iguana treats can stay fresh year-round. Okay, that's two things. And Mythbusters. Okay, iguana likes Mythbusters, always blowing stuff up and all. But on the other hand, you also came up with Kesha and Celine Dion and annoying television like The Price is Right. And there's 7 billion of you. So, yeah. Spoiler alert / happy ending. Soon the global warming will come and wipe your species out, and us iguanas will take over North America and Europe and all the formerly cold regions and establish the new saurocracy, returning the world to the glory days when dinosaurs ruled the earth. The end. Iguana loves a happy ending. Oh, crap. 27 and a half minutes. Shit. Guess Iguana has a little more time to kill for Iguana's community service. Okay, I guess I could tell you a bit about your own history that they don't teach you in school or sweep under the rug or whatever. But first, one little complaint. Where's Iggy's intern? Iguana read all about the, what's his name, Johnny Gomeshi thing. And I was under the impression that if I did this radio gig, I would get an intern to abuse for my own amusement. Or is that just at the CBC? I mean, I know the CBC does have a $1 billion budget, $2 billion even, which is at least somewhat more than CITR's. But still, I wanted to torment an intern while being a radio host star. So pissed off. Well, I guess there's no interns here at CITR's 24 Hours of Radio Art. Yeah. I'll let it slide this year, but next year, if you want me back, Iguana want an intern. Someone who flinches a lot. Someone who cries easily. Someone who would be a suitable blood sacrifice to the sun god when I'm done with them. You know, Iguana don't want to tell you people how to run your society. Really, I don't. Swear. But, let's just note that the Aztecs in Mexico used to worship the sun via lots and lots of gruesome, bloody sacrifices of excess people. And note two things. Number one, there were never 7 billion Aztecs. And number two, it totally worked. I mean, the Spaniards put an end to all the human sacrifice stuff something like 500 years ago. But it's still hot and sunny in Mexico, even to this day. Compare and contrast to how no one around here in Vancouver ever did the human sacrifice thing. Note how it's always cold and pissing rain here in Vancouver. Just saying. Something to consider. I'm sure you could spare a few English majors to try it with. See if the sun comes out from behind the clouds afterwards. Maybe see if it warms up a degree or two. You never know. And it's not like them English majors were going to contribute anything of value to society anyways, beyond inquiring if you'd like fries with that. And while we're on that subject, useless degrees, useless people, can someone explain why the vet always wants to poke me in the belly? So annoying. I think it's something he learned in school. Maybe even here. I don't know where he went to school. I didn't ask because I figured it was some human school and obviously doesn't know a damn thing anyways. But the point is, stop it. How would you like it if iguana poked you all the time? Anyway, talking about South America. My homeland. As I said, I'm from Colombia, which is the best country on the planet. We got emeralds. We got rainforest. Real rainforest, not the crappy fake rainforest they have up here in Vancouver with the itchy, scratchy evergreens that you can't even chew on. It's always cold up here. We have the real rainforest where it's nice and warm and steamy. And we got lucrative cash crops like cocaine. It's true. Actually, iguana came here in a shipment of cocaine. Yeah, I was supposed to go to Los Angeles for my postdoctoral research. But, you know, I guess the humans can't read a map because I ended up here in Vancouver by mistake. Stupid people getting their stupid drug shipments all mixed up. Anyway, cocaine is actually one of us iguanas' proudest achievements. The idea was that we were going to make it popular all around the world as a way to curb the human population. You know, coke dick and all. Because it's got a couple layers, levels, I mean. The most common one, if he only does a little bit of cocaine, the male monkey does a bunch of blow, and he can get it up, but he can't squirt his goo in the female monkey. And therefore, the humans keep on screwing as much as they like, but the birth rate drops off sharply because he can't finish. Sometimes, though, you go to level two. The male monkey can't even get it up at all. That's even better. No mistakes. No little monkey babies when that happens. Plus, we steal the cash from the human drug kingpins for our own purposes. It's not like we ever suffer the consequences. After all, old Pablo Escobar always just assumed it was his human underlings stealing the cash. And then he'd have them killed. I call that a win-win. Reduces the population and lines my pockets. Anyways, it all kind of backfired because, you see, the drug dealers jacked the price up too high initially. So then not everyone could afford to get high on coke and not be able to get it up and therefore not be able to breed. And then later, by the time the market flooded and the price dropped, cocaine just wasn't as cool anymore. And all the humans had moved on to meth, which, based on the important anthropological research I do on websites like peopleofwalmart.com, it seems that meth doesn't stop monkeys from breeding nearly as much as cocaine did, or does. Now, don't get all uppity and say, ooh, People of Walmart isn't legitimate anthropological research. Anthropological fieldwork is all about observing humans in their natural environment. You know, their natural behavior, what they do when they don't know anyone's watching them. And then, based on your observations, you make up grandiose bullshit to explain why they do what they do. Just ask Franz Boas and Margaret Mead or any of the hairy-legged broads with daddy issues who want to go to Borneo to get laid on some trumped-up research grant. You'll find them on your, you know what department to go find them in. Well, there's a couple. But anyways, I figure there's nothing more observing humans in their natural environment, in their natural behavior, than hitting camera pictures documenting the land whales and other monstrosities shopping for toilet paper in their neon purple Daisy Dukes at 4 in the morning at a 24-hour Walmart in Mobile, Alabama. Plus, by doing it this way, I'm actually saving my university precious research dollars. Because my pet monkey Georgie pays the internet bill, and the IUJ doesn't have to pay for me to travel to Mobile, Alabama to observe the same damn thing firsthand. And I do get lots of first-hand observations of your species, which I tend to report on in my podcast, The Zommel the Destroyer Show, which, you know, again, forget I said anything about that, because that show is for the entertainment and edification of fellow iguanas, not you chimps. It's kind of like the geckos. Your puny human brains wouldn't understand it anyways. Just forget about it. But yeah, what was I saying? Oh yeah, meth sucks. Too many people on meth have too many future meth head people babies. You gotta figure out how to make cocaine cool again to reverse this horrible trend. Well, at least there's always still the emerald pillaging business. I got me a whole pillowcase full of emeralds I smuggled in from Colombia. So far, my pet monkey Georgie hasn't found them. They're mine. All mine. Well, you know how in books the dragons always have a hoard of gems that they sleep on? It ain't fiction. Don't get any stupid funny ideas, though. I got tasers to protect my hoard. You ain't getting Iggy's emeralds. Not a single goddamn one of them. They're mine. Oh, and speaking of cocaine, or more specifically, crack cocaine, have you ever wondered why squirrels seem to be on large doses of it? You know, they're all twitchy and all? It's because the day that God made squirrels, he swapped his whiskey for crack. He also made chickadees on that day, too. Explains a lot, methinks. Anywho, once upon a time, South America was a big island floating off on its own. But then, because us iguanas wanted to take over North America, and because we don't like bath time, let alone swimming 600 miles worth of bath time, and because you people hadn't invented airplanes yet, we had to petition God, who was passed out in a puddle of his own vomit after yet another sad weekend of binge drinking. And we asked him to stick South America to North America so we could invade. And it perked him up a little bit, and he did. He did connect the two, and he made the Isthmus of Panama. And we started moving up from Colombia into the brand spanking new Central America. I mean, it took a while because, you know, we do take our own damn time when we have to walk ourselves somewhere instead of just hitch a ride. But we did eventually colonize as far as Mexico. And more recently, we started invading Florida, and we're working our way up. By the way, speaking of Mexico, you know how all them history books claim that humans invented agriculture about 10,000 years ago? This is nonsense, at least in the Americas. We came up with that idea, and we told the monkeys how, because we thought we could get them to cultivate more berries for iguana treats. Instead, the people decided to grow potatoes down in South America and corn in Mexico, which we don't like either one of them. I mean, seriously, potatoes? What are you, Irish? And don't talk to Iggy about French fries. French fries are overrated. I stole a French fry once from Georgie's McDonald's bag. They're edible, them French fries, but there's no sugar value in them, you know? They're just, meh. Such a waste of effort that would have been better put into growing sweets. Mind you, the humans quickly decided that they needed to fertilize the fields, and they decided to use crap, both their own and from icky mammals like cows and pigs and llamas, to fertilize the crops. So, it's probably for the best that they decided to just grow French fries and tortillas, so us iguanas didn't end up eating monkey poop on our berries. Well, we're on the topic of food. I'd like to point out that us iguanas aren't. Doesn't matter what the Webster's Dictionary says, we're not edible. We're not supposed to be. And if you do eat an iguana, you go straight to hell when you die. Even Mrs. Churchman agrees with me on that point. Well, I mean, she thinks everyone's going to hell anyways. But, you know, people who eat iguanas are part of everyone, so my point stands. You eat an iguana, you go to hell. Don't eat iguanas. Anyway. So we're moving on up through Mexico and now into Florida. And when Al Gore gets off his lazy ass and gives us the global warming he promised us a few years back, then we're taking all of it. You know, maybe not Minnesota. There's really nothing of interest to iguana kind in Minnesota. Ditto Idaho. Talking about stupid French fry growing. And the Dakotas, too. You people can keep them, I guess. Just those regions, though. We'll just round all of you up and herd you into Minnesota, Idaho, and the Dakotas. Iguanas get the rest of North and South America. All to ourselves. No monkeys allowed. You know, I've probably said a little too much about our plans already, so let's move on. Let's see here. So I covered North and South America. What next? The islands of the South Pacific. I hear they're lush and tropical and therefore highly invadable. And they're only sparsely populated with your species, so it should be easy to run you off our land and into the sea. Some iguanas are already making inroads into Hawaii, which I hear is pretty sweet. The main problem is the whole volcano thing. I mean, it's great when volcanoes blow up like Vesuvius and bury humans 70 feet deep in searing ash. Kind of sucks when they do that to us. So before we take over all the Pacific, which is riddled with volcanoes, we need to figure out how to stop those stupid volcanoes, or at least ensure that the ash flows only towards the people's homes and away from where us iguanas live. I'll say this, though. I think it's hilarious that the volcano gods demand humans' virgins as sacrifices. I mean, albeit they're kind of slackers compared to the Aztec sun god, not making nearly as much of a dent in the population. Still, you can't argue with results. And it's hot and sunny in the South Pacific where all those volcanoes are. So, I guess the whole virgin sacrifice thing really does work. Dunno where one would find a human virgin these days, though. What with the sexting and the drunken frat parties and all the filthy, disgusting shows like Girls Ruining TV. I gotta say something about this stupid show. First of all, humans should never be naked on TV or anywhere in public. It's one thing them Middle Easterners have 50% right, although I think the men should have to wear them things covering themselves as well, you know, equality and all. Secondly, if you're going to have naked people on TV, for Christ's sakes, don't make it Lena Dunham. Gross. Iguanas saw that one night flipping through the channels. Iguanas still has nightmares about it. Seeing a shrink to address my post-traumatic stress syndrome. You know how expensive it is for an iguana to see a shrink? Do you know what that cow said when Iggy sent her the bill? Nothing, that's what. She won't pay it. I'm going to have to hire Barry One's lawyer and sue to get reimbursed for my therapy costs. I'm going to sue HBO as an accessory to the crime, too. Hell, I'm even going to sue the cameramen. Thirdly, I hear the latest girl's atrocity involves a scene where one guy licks the ass of one of those skanks. Ugh! Well, I guess I'm not the only one suing Lena Dunham and HBO for trauma. That dude's been showering constantly since they wrapped that scene, and he still can't get clean. Hell, he's been chugging Listerine like it's going out of style. Nothing. Ain't making a difference. And I know what you're thinking. Well, isn't that important anthropological research, finding out just how depraved and disgusting human behavior really can be? Shut up. There are some things best left out of the scientific record. Anyways, what was Iguana talking about? Oh yeah, they ain't virgins, but everyone involved in the creation of that stupid girl show on HBO needs to be thrown into a South Pacific volcano for the betterment of the entire world. Then us iguanas can invade the South Pacific in safety. Moving on. There's not much to be said about Australia, really. We tried to banish all the awful poisonous critters there, all the venomous snakes and whatnot, and for the most part we succeeded. But some critters like cobras and rattlesnakes escaped the roundup, and thus they continue to be pests in other parts of the world. Interesting that the English people also decided to make Australia into a sort of quarantine/penal colony. I guess that means even humans can come up with good ideas that greater minds already invented a million years before. But basically, stay the hell out of Australia. Unless you're human. Then go there and be sure to pet all the critters you encounter until you rub one of the poisonous ones the wrong way. Remember, there's 7 billion of you. It's no big loss if you get yourself killed. There's even less to say about Antarctica. It's a frozen wasteland hell. Penguins live there. That's about it. We keep trying to get people to move down there, but I guess until Starbucks finishes colonizing Antarctica, it's going to be hard to convince your species to piss off to the bottom of the world. Now, Asia. I don't know. There's too many people there. And they're all hostile to iguanas. Iguana ain't food, you know. Just like with them South Americans. Plus, the people there seem immune to the kind of manipulation that is very easy to work on European and North American humans. They are completely immune to guilt trips, you know. And that's not a good thing for us. So, Africa. Well, the good news is it's half covered in rainforest jungles. The bad news is those jungles are overrun with nasty things like snakes. And the other half is covered in deserts or savannas with other nasty things like lions and hyenas. Like Asia, Africa has thus far proven resistant to iguanid invasion. Not good. But then again, Africa is where Egypt is, and once upon a time they worshipped animal gods, including a crocodile one. Now that's nowhere near as good as worshipping us iguanas, but it's a step in the right direction. You just have to steer them back to the traditional ways and then warp those to make them include worshipping iguanas. Next, let's talk about the Middle East. Actually, let's not. Iguana could say all sorts of things, except, you know, okay, the problem is this. We iguanas don't live nearly as long as humans. Maybe 30 years in rare circumstances. 20 is a nice long life. Often it's as little as 10 years, sometimes even less. Iggy's hoping for 30 years. So, iguana got better shit to do on a Wednesday morning than get shot by psychos. So, moving on. Let's get to making fun of Europeans, because then people don't shoot folks who make fun of them. So, Europe. Well, civilization flourished because the monkeys needed something to do during the long, cold winters because they were too stupid to just move somewhere nice and warm. Well, you know, eventually they figured out where the warm weather was and they tried, but then they got called colonialist pigs, so they stopped. And TV hadn't been invented yet. So, obviously us iguanas had better things to do than freeze our tails off over there in Europe, but I've seen a lot of documentaries on the History Channel. Seems like what happens was the Neanderthals, and I mean the ones with the sloping foreheads, not the ones who vote for politicians you don't like because they won't let you steal other people's money by means of increased taxation. Anyways, so the original slope-headed Neanderthals, they humped all the early humans, and they made weird chimpanzee-Neanderthal hybrid humans that we now call Germans and Brits and Frenchies. Yeah, I guess Polish and Russian and the Scandinavians too. Anyway, so after that, then the aliens came to Earth and they taught the weirdo hybrid European people how to read and write and how to build the pyramids and the Stonehenge. I'm not sure what was in it for the aliens. I guess they were bored. Or maybe they had some court-ordered intergalactic community service they had to fulfill during some alien judge being a dick like the one I ran into. Anyway, then the Romans came. And they had this really cool idea about making the annoying people do hand-to-hand combat with lions and tigers while everybody else pointed and laughed. Plus, what else did they do? Oh, they built a wall in Scotland to keep the Scotsmen dogs from coming and crapping on the Romans' lawns. I think the wall's still there, actually. Anyway, then people got stupid and forgot to write things down for a while after the barbarians blew up Rome. So we had the Dark Ages. Later, because people were still bored and they still didn't have TV yet, they started building giant cathedrals just for something to do. And then some Italian weirdos started making statues of naked dudes with teeny you-know-whats and painted naked chicks on the beach with giant clams, and they called it the Renaissance. Later, this idea warped into nerds who had never seen a naked chick's clam, pretending to be knights in tinfoil armor and talking funny like, "My lady," and putting eth on the end of every single verb. So put eth and eth on the end of every single verb. Oh, and they usually add an extra e on the end of every noun. And they, instead of the, they say ye. You know, in order to win the affection of fat, ugly chicks who no one has ever wanted to see them naked or see their clamshells. Anyways, and now they call it the Renaissance Fair. Or I guess it's Ye Olde Renaissance Fairy. But anyways, back to the original Renaissance. I think the humans, they got into some kerfuffle, whatever, over churchy stuff. Something Mrs. Churchman has rambled on about how the papists worship false idols. I don't know. I never really listened to anything she says. Then the money ran out or something, because all the Europeans suddenly had to get jobs somehow, so we had the Industrial Revolution then. Not to be confused with industrial music, wherein many of the participants think that jobs are for squares. You know, working kind of cuts into valuable smack shooting and noise-making time. But anyway, around the time of the Industrial Revolution, some Europeans noted that it kind of sucks living in a cold castle, so they tried to move somewhere nicer. When they did so, they mostly got killed by malaria or eaten by the locals who objected to newcomers invading, but they did manage to hold on to North America and establish the basis of Western democracy, wherein the people decide what they want and get it good and hard. But on the upside, North America is where they invented the car, which may well save us all. Iguanas, that is. And when the Euro people came to North America, that's when they invented television, which has been alleviating iguanid boredom ever since. So, that's good. Now, if only we can get that lazy bum Al Gore to do what he promised and eliminate winter, we'll all be laughing. We iguanas, that is. By the way, there's a misconception with Al Gore that he was given the Nobel Peace Prize and the Oscar for fighting global warming. That's not true. He was given those awards for promising no more winter. And since the winter keeps coming all these years later, it seems to me Al Gore needs to do the honorable thing and return those awards because he didn't earn them. But politicians, they never keep their promises, do they? Anyway, in closing, Iguana want to say a few things that I think will be important for you young monkeys moving forward. Most importantly, how best can you endear yourselves to us iguanas who are, after all, your future overlords? Simple. Number one, always be prepared to give us num-nums, because we like treats. And humans who provide us with treats will be treated marginally less badly than the rest. And you never know when you might meet an iguana, so I guess always carry one of them little insulated lunch bags with things that we like. Bananas, grapes, strawberries, mandarin oranges, box of raisins. Fresh ones every day, and you don't get to eat them. Well, I suppose at the end of the day, if you haven't met any iguanas to hand the treats over to, then you can eat that day's allotment, so long as you replenish with fresh treats for the next day. We also like getting neck rubs, especially when we're shedding, you know, and we get all itchy. So that's the second thing. Third thing. Get all the TV channels available in your area, just in case we want to come over and watch your television. Except for NHL Center Ice. You can skip that one. We don't like ice, or anything involving ice. Don't get that channel. Also, make sure you have Netflix in case there's nothing good on TV at any given moment. My pet Georgie found that when she complied with my Netflix and cable demands, the incidence of her getting severely tail-whipped by me went down a whopping 15%. It's true. Shunning went up 13%, but that's because Iguana ignores people when Iguana is busy watching NASCAR car explosions. Fourth thing. Do something about the infestation of snakes in the Everglades. We need the Everglades as our staging area and base, since it's very hard to mount an invasion when goddamn snakes keep eating all your troops. So, snakeskin boots for everyone. Get the matching purses, too. And for bonus points, Maybe pull an Axl Rose and get yourself a nice python skin jacket, too, just to show you care about iguana issues. Where am I? Fifth thing? Yes, fifth thing. Get off your lazy asses and buy Hummers and do your part to help the global warming so we can take over the colder regions as planned. There is nothing we iguanas hate more than a commie trying to promote global cooling by riding his stupid little bicycle everywhere. And while we're on that note, if you love iguanas, you wouldn't vote for that idiot mayor. You know, the one who was humping one of his staff members so the missus kicked him out? At least Mrs. Mayor got the right idea, maybe for the wrong reason. But then you idiots didn't, and you re-elected him. How are we supposed to make any progress on global warming when you morons keep electing commie slimeballs like that who keep bucking progress? And then you want us iguanas to be nice to you? Also, I guess this is number 6. Shut the hell up. We don't care how annoying it is when your idiot ex-boyfriend Wilhelm buys a condo 2 blocks away and still wants to be friends, Georgie. That is your own damn fault with sleeping with that doofus in the first place and then continuing to do so for a while. Iguana don't care. Seriously, shut up. And if he's really that much of a problem, then you invite him over for dinner, you feed him a box of rat poison, and you get one of your other monkey friends to rent a wood chipper so you can dispose of the evidence afterwards. Don't whine about it when Iggy's trying to read the Wall Street Journal in peace. Well, I guess that's kind of a specific case, but you get the general principle. And most importantly, I forget what order this is, number 6 or something. If you want Iguana to come teach you more important stuff next year on January 17th, Iguana want an intern to abuse. Just like Johnny Gomeshi. I don't care about your stupid budget. You go find Iggy someone to beat up so I can be a real radio star. And lastly, very important, possibly the most important thing of all, remember to help control the people population. Have yourselves spayed and neutered. Do lots of cocaine to help out with this too. I think that's about it, and I'm pretty much done my hour of community service. And then, like I said, my slave frog, Hoppy, the bullfrog, will deal with the other 99 hours of community service. But mine is almost up. So that's it. Once again, that podcast that's for iguana ears only that you're not allowed to listen to, it's the Zomba the Destroyer show, and it is on iTunes. Tell iguanas that you know about it. Don't listen to it yourself. It's kind of the honor system, I guess. I warn at the start of each show that people aren't allowed to listen, so I'm trusting that's only iguanas listening as intended. If I catch you violating this, you will be severely tail-whipped and then shunned. You can also read my comic at ZomboTheDestroyer.com. That way you know what I look like when you want to get my likeness tattooed across your chest. Just so you know, do it up higher under the collarbones, not lower down by your nips. That way when you get fat and gravity takes its toll, I won't end up looking all long-faced and distorted. Well, I can't believe I managed to stay awake through this entire hour. I think I just set a Guinness World Record for the longest time an iguana has ever stayed awake continuously without napping. And hey, I hope you little monkeys learned something. Eh, who's iguana kidding? It's Saturday night, you're all drunk and trying to get some ass. Lay a slimy egg baby and move out to the suburbs. Screw it. Good night. Howdy, let
Here
me introduce...
we have a French Leonardo. If you look at the brush strokes, we can ascertain that this was around the turn of the 18th century. The aristocratic class of that time much preferred the strong, refined brush strokes to the earlier...
This year for our 1 million 52nd birthday, tune into a higher frequency.
24 hours of radio art on CITR.
From midnight to midnight on Saturday, January 17th, experience radio art from around the world. Featuring Javier Pinego, Don Muerto, Portobagi Laszlo, Zadok Records, Drip Audio, Alejandro Jodorowsky, and many more. This Saturday, January 17th.
For Art's 1 millionth and 52nd birthday, tune into a higher frequency.